Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris' new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it. Yes, they sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on you, bruvs. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm doing so good. I'm so loving this Monday so far. How about you?
Same. It's rainy here in LA. It's cozy. Had a nice restorative weekend full of massive board games, and my love tank is full, and I am ready to dive in.
Oh, love it. It was my sister's birthday this week, so happy birthday, even though you're not listening to this because you have no taste. We had a little party for her at my house, and my niece's boyfriend is like, hey, my mom really liked meeting you. She wants to give you this present. Ben, it's one of those fucking balls that you've seen Kyle Richards use on the Instagram, I'm sure.
Like, oh God, the punching thing?
I almost killed him. I want to kill his mother now for giving me this thing. I've got this stupid thing strapped to my head. Do you know how many times I punched myself in the face? Also, they videotaped me. Listen, I know I'm a big girl. There's no, I don't think of myself as like some manly football player, okay? I am under no illusion that I'm anything but what I am. But goddamn, do I not need to see it on somebody else's cell phone. I'm mortified.
Yeah, that's like, first of all, I think you look wonderful. Second of all, it is hard to see. No, it's like when you're so used to controlling your own angles and then you and someone else does a video, and to them it's fine, you know, because they're used to seeing you from all sizes and angles. So, you know, it's like when you like, you know, they're not even thinking about it. But then, like, the moment you first see yourself from, like, a three-quarter angle, oh, but from the other way around.
And just hitting out at things. I mean, you know those videos on Facebook?
Just hitting.
Yeah. You know those videos on, like, the internet where someone's like, they tried the wrong person. And then it's a guy walking into a diner holding everybody up. And then some brave patron gets up and kicks his ass. And you're like, yeah, go, patron. And I love those videos. And I always think, I'm going to be that patron one day. You know, I'm going to be in a Denny's. Someone's going to try and fuck with everybody. And I'm going to kick their ass. I am not going to kick anybody's ass. Let me tell you that. I don't even know where I was hitting at. I didn't even look butch enough to hit flies. My hands were just a flailing. My elbows are like punching out to the sides. It was humiliats. It was humiliats.
Well, I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in violence. So therefore, I shall not be hitting anything, especially a ball that's attached to my head.
Well, I believe in violence. You know why? Because I read the damn Bible. Okay, everybody, welcome to the show today. This is not about me hitting myself like a big girl on a terrible video. This is about Bravo, okay? Specifically, Real Housewives of Potomac. But first, we're going back on tour. Now, we are so excited to finally be getting our butts out of our house and going back and doing live shows again. I've missed it. It's been a long time. This tour is called the Cheetah Brand Tour. And we've already announced a bunch of cities, and we announced four more today. Tickets are already on sale for the first round of cities, and they are going to go on sale for these last cities this week.
We should say the latest cities. The pre-sale starts on Wednesday, and then general on sale will not be long after that. That's the pre-sale code is Crappens 2023. I don't know if we go on general for on Thursday or on Friday. We should probably have looked into that before we started recording. But as long as you've got the pre-sale code, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, you're good. Crappens 2023. Okay, so the tickets we've already announced, the cities we've announced, are Austin, Dallas, Phoenix, LA. That's where we're going to have the 2023 Golden Crappies at the Wiltern Theater. One of our biggest houses, and it's going to be a great, great crappie. So please join us for that in LA. Then we're going to Charlotte, Atlanta, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, and San Francisco, Toronto, and then Philadelphia, New York City, and Washington, D.C. But wait, guess what? Because you guys were like, hey, what about the Midwest? Why don't you hit us in the Midwest? Fuck you! We call us a flyers! Fuck you guys! And so we're like, hey, what can we do? So guess what? We're coming to the Midwest. Well, we're also going to San Diego. No one said anything rude from San Diego because y'all
San Diego. San Diego is the Midwest of the Pacific Ocean and whatever's just a little bit east of San Diego.
It's the Midwest to something. But we love San Diego. We played last year at the Observatory. And guess where we're playing this year? The same. Because we loved it. The
Observatory.
It. Okay. Yep. We loved it there. So we're going to be there in, what month is that? June. Okay. And then also in June, we're going to be in St. Paul, Minnesota. Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Chicago. Chicago, did you really think that we were going to not come to you? We love you, Chicago.
I know. I felt so bad because everyone was so upset. They're like, what about Chicago? What about the Midwest and everything? And like, I was like, we can't announce it yet. But I felt bad that people were losing their mind. But of course, we're having Chicago.
Yeah, the mayor was like, we're not ready for them again. And I said, really? Ask your constituents and see how that plays out for your numbers. And so they're allowing us back there. We're going to be at the Vic there that time. That's going to be great. And Columbus, Ohio, which we also love. What an arty little wonderful town that is, Columbus.
Yes. Well, now I feel bad that we didn't say anything about St. Paul. We said everything about all the other three new cities. St. Paul is wonderful too. I love Minnesota. I was just in Minnesota last month. It's a great place.
It very is excited a great place. And there. We're going to be there in the summer, which is very different is nice. From our usual mode. You know, we're like, hey, we'll see ya in the coldest time possible. But
yeah,
we smartened up a little bit this time, a little bit.
Yeah, so everyone, go to watchacrappens.com for the tickets. Again, the presale starts on Wednesday. By the way, and thank you to everyone who has already bought tickets. I looked at the map for the Crappies and for Town Hall, which are two of our biggest venues, and Town Hall's in New York City, and we've already, like, half the tickets are already gone. It's crazy, and that's just the first weekend. So definitely get your tickets. We don't want anyone to miss out. And, that's it. Those are the shows for now.
Listen, as my mother used to say every time we walked into a Dillard's, don't make me look stupid. Go buy your tickets.
Also, we do have a pretty rigorous no balls attached to your head policy. So if you come in punching a ball, we are going to have to ask you to check that with Will Call, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay, so here we are. Now, this is crazy. Real Housewives of Potomac. Last week, we were making jokes about Mia's sisterhood of the traveling with no pants on. And guess what?
Great line.
This week's episode is called Sisterhood of the Traveling Beefs. Guys, I mean, come on. It's fate that we're here today.
It really is. Spelled F8, like the number. Like the movie. Like the installment of the Fast and the Furious franchise. The Fast and the Furious.
The Fast and the Furious, because you should know where your children are.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Now, listen, a lot of times, you know, people I read on the internet saying, like, this show should be about housewives. I don't even understand. Nobody on this show is even married. And this is supposed to be called Housewives. Well, this is definitely one of those episodes that this is some real shit that happens between moms. I've heard this fight myself. Why am I always taking care of your damn kids? You take care of your kids. Stop using my babysitter for your damn self. And that's the fight we got today. So I say cheers.
But to be fair, I also say the exact same thing if I'm in public and someone's child like just grazes my leg as they walk by. Why am I taking care of your kids? I also apply that to really anything. So anyway, yes, we just got back from Miami, and now we're already heading off to Mexico. But this is like the build up episode, putting everything into place, sort of. So it opens up with Karen. She's looking at a dress in the mirror, and then she goes into a room and sees Ray. She's like, "Hey, baby, I can't believe I'm getting ready to go to Mexico with the girls."
Yeah, there's Karen setting up her perfect improv scene. Look at me, Ray is here, my baby, which infers that he's my husband. I can't believe I'm getting ready to go to a Mexico trip will be today's plot. Thanks for...
Freeze! That was a lovely salad, Ray. Thank you for getting that for me. I'm so glad we're at a restaurant.
So she's going to host together with Ashley because it's Ashley's birthday. And then... we see a clip of Ashley saying 3 days ago, it would be nice for us to go to Mexico, which was necessary. But it was necessary, actually, to see everyone's reactions because everyone was like, ew, Mexico, gross. I was like, what does this cast have against Mexico? I've never seen a less excited group to go to Mexico. How dare you?
Yeah, you're right. Also, how funny is it that Ashley basically invites everyone at the table to Mexico, but like her friend Deborah is there and clearly not getting an invite? Like, who does that? Who invites everyone at the table except for Deborah? Justice for Deborah's Mexico invitation.
No,
get her messy ass down there.
She deserves no. She couldn't even get through customs. They'd be like, no, 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 no. Send her back.
No, just send her to a different part of the country.
She'd be like, the guy with the wand tried to hit on me when I was going through security.
Yeah. I'm ready for that. Send her to Andalés, and everyone else goes, where are they? By the way, where are they in Mexico? Did we ever find out where in Mexico they are? They're just sort of like in this general Mexico place.
No, they're somewhere good. They're like Playa del
I'm sure it's good, but I'm just saying they just sort of arrived. And also, did you notice, I'm just going to say this right now, did you notice that they were really trying to create some White Lotus moments? With their interstitials. They've been really playing around with interstitials this whole season. Because now, when they were in Mexico, like every single time they changed scenes, there was like slow motion, oceans, like waves crashing, and the music was mysterious. And then they'd like show this like alligator. I believe is it a crocodile down there? I think it's an alligator.
Girl, that's a Karen before she found an esthetician alligator.
So they cut to Ramona Singer, okay? Like, whoa, I'm in the water in Mexico, okay? And it's just opening its mouth in slow motion, like this is going to turn Romancing the Stone by the end of this trip.
Yeah, that was a butterfly effect, Karen. Like, if Karen had never come on to Housewives.
Everything, everywhere, all at every Karen, everywhere, all at once.
Also, I was taking this as more Survivor because they were doing a lot of like, Like, that's their music to walk to your hotel room. I was like, could we not didgeridoo on a girl's trip? Like, I don't know who's in charge over there today, but come on.
Did you ever notice that the White Lotus theme song sort of does sound like Karen waiting for something?
Hey, Karen, why won't you call Cherise? It's just taking it down a few octaves.
Welcome to White Lotus. I'm Karen Huger. There should be no murdering because it's my birthday.
So then we see flowers not dying all over town, which is super positive. So congrats on your positive outlook in 2023. And Giselle is in the car just causing mess every fucking place she goes because she has nothing else to do. She's talking to Robin on the phone. And Robin's like, oh, hey, I didn't mean to bother you. How did it go? She means the biopsy.
I was waiting for you to make this pivot into the biopsy. Yeah, it's actually like a relatively, it's actually a sort of a serious moment here because she's basically has fibroids that are so big that she's looks like Giselle is going to have a hysterectomy. And the doctors don't even want her to travel out the country, but she's like, I have a TV show to do, and I must be there, which is also something that happens to Wendy. I mean, these ladies are risking their health to be part of these shows. And that is the sort of dedication that I appreciate on my Real Housewives.
Yeah. She's like, surgery will not stop me. Yeah. Robin's like, well, you know, what about Karen's live show? I mean, so many people were involved. It wasn't even about Karen. This is the first time in history Robin has asked for more Karen.
I know. Says Robin, who's reasonably shady live show involved people on stage doing jumping jacks and Ashley and Juan and probably someone who works at Starbucks explaining how you press the button to get a venti frappuccino.
So Giselle is acting shocked that Karen would invite everyone but not Charissa. To exclude her would be mean. No, when she doesn't like Charisse. Why are we acting like Karen and Charisse have been friends all this time? So Robin's like, I think it's definitely deliberate. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That good way to deduce that, Robin. And so Giselle's like, and Charisse dropping the video. Hilarious. So we see the video again of Karen's boob popping out. And they're just like laughing about how Karen was acting like she wasn't mad at it, but she definitely was. And then we hear from Candace that Candace had, when she saw it, she was like, oh, nice titties. And Karen sent a text to the group, but specifically to Candace saying, By the way, ladies, please do not refer to my breasts as titties. The word boobs works for me. Have a great night.
Well, why is everybody else allowed to set boundaries? You know? Don't call them titties then if she doesn't want to. I will not call them titties anymore. I respect you. So
tough titties.
Tough boobies.
Tough boobies. It was kind of just as funny to me. I mean, obviously everyone is allowed to set their boundaries of how they would like their various body parts or things in their lives to be called. So I respect Karen saying I would prefer them to be called boobs instead of titties. But it's just funny because titties and boobs feels like a lateral move. Like I was expecting her to say, I would prefer you to say bosom or cleavage or, you know, like roundish lady parts. But the fact that she's like, I prefer you not to say titties, but I do think that like...
I hate the word titties. I hate it.
Boobies.
I also hate really? The word tits. Yeah, I think it's very crass. I try not to say them. I say boobs. That's it.
Oh, I did not know that you felt that titties were super crass.
Yeah, like, or maybe you can say like, yeah, nice rack, something like that if you're in a Target and you're feeling a little spicy. You know, that's respectful. But I don't like titties. It's like when you say someone took a shit. I hate that term. I hate the SH word when it actually describes poop. I just like poop. Just say poop. That's it. That's all I need is your poop.
Wow.
Poop.
Wow, look at you.
Someone doesn't like me saying poop, which I didn't even know I said until someone told me.
Pew?
So poop.
Poop? Poop. I don't know. Wait, pew. So pew. People don't like you saying poop.
I guess I say poop, but I don't know. Someone told me I said
poop. I didn't realize that you said poop. I thought you said poop.
But now I say poop.
What about defecation?
don't like that. What about, I mean, it just sounds so laborious.
Turd? Like, what about turd?
Turd's okay.
For some reason, turd, I'm not even going to say. You know what? I'm not even going to go down this path because I'm just going to make you so uncomfortable. And I respect you as my podcast co-host and work husband that I do not want to make you uncomfortable on this here broadcast.
Well, thanks, man. Oh, my God, the respect. So Robin's respect. Like, well, Karen's just going to dance around topics, so I don't know what the point is. And Giselle tells us that she wants to mend the fences between Charisse and Karen because, well, I'm nosy, but we all used to be such good friends. You want to mend fences because you have nothing going on. You never have anything going on. Robin doesn't have anything going on. And frankly, this is my favorite Housewives show as of late. But you guys are struggling a little here as you try and make it towards the end. None of your trickery has worked, ma'am. So I suggest doing something other than just talking about Karen and Charisse's fight. Nobody cares about Karen and Charisse's fight. Okay? Nobody.
I feel like Giselle is trying to bring Charisse back into the fold. That way they could have kind of a Sonia, Ramona, Luann kind of vibe, like the OGs, or maybe you can even say Dorinda. I feel like Ashley is almost like the Dorinda, but she's not. But like, I can kind of see her like wanting to have that vibe of like, we are the elder statesmen of the group. Because now that there are these younger, idiotic ladies, you know, nipping at our heels, the three of us can be the three like wise ones. We started this thing and now let's take it over. And Karen is basically like, no, I don't want to have any of it. I shall not even mention Charisse's name. Boobs works for me. Let's call it boobs. That works for me.
I think what she's doing is because Giselle's obsessed with getting everyone's marriage in trouble, right? She's like obsessed with marriage.
She's obsessed with it.
I'm telling you, all she wants to do is tell all people's marriage.
She wants to march right in there and tear it all down, I say.
Yeah, she just wants to fuck up everybody's marriage. That's like her thing. And I think she wants Charisse to come on and say that Karen is cheating. You know,
yeah,
which I don't care if Karen's cheating. You know, that's like seeing someone sitting at home with an old stale piece of toast and some like tuna fish that's been open in the fridge too long and then getting mad at them for going out to lunch. Okay, go out to lunch, girl. Go. You've earned it.
I would actually get a little mad at them for going out to lunch because I'm like, man, they probably have some bad tuna breath. Keep that indoors. Keep that away from the general public. Postmates.
So Karen is like, well, I'll be nice to her if you don't fuck with me.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So then Robin is trying to do some dance. Her kids are teaching her off of TikTok. And, you know, then she lays down because it's a Robin scene. So,
yeah. So it's basically the kids and Robin and Juan are sitting around very sad. Sectional. The sectional is not sad, just the room feels sad. There's like a sadness in the room. It's just like, it's like being at the, not even the DMV, it's like reporting for jury duty. And so she's like,
you know then it's just like also, that vibe. It's not the sad sectional, it's just the way they sit on the sectional, because like Robin is an armpit sitter, and you know I hate armpit sitter. I hate armpit sitter.
Could you please elaborate on what you mean by armpit sitter? Because I think I know, but I don't want to make assumptions.
When people sit back on the couch, and then they put their arm behind the couch, and like put their armpit all over the couch pillow. That's just disgusting. And it's not even like, if it was a pleather couch or a leather couch or something that I could wipe down later with Windex wipes or Clorox wipes, okay. But it's not. It's just your armpit on the couch. Is that your couch? Yes. Are you allowed to put your armpit there? Yes. But it's not inviting for anybody else. If I have to sit on your couch, it's going to have your armpit on it, and I'm going to have to watch you do that terrible dance. I'm not ever sitting on your couch.
I've never noticed that, but I am probably going to notice it from now on. And that's a great point, because I also just don't understand the utility of wrapping your arm around the back of the sofa. I mean, my sofa is up against the wall, so it prevents that from happening in the first place. You're welcome.
Well, I do, but if I have to like sit up on a sofa, yeah, I need all the help I can get. But I make sure that there's like t-shirt between me and the sofa. I'm not a monster.
So you like, you put your arm behind to sort of get some leverage to sort of, but now I feel like you maybe put your arm at the top to hoist yourself up. You don't have to drape it all the way behind like a clip, you know?
Well,
like
then my body feels the sofa and it's over. Like I'm just a lump on the sofa. I'm like just reaching for the Netflix. Like there's no, I'm not used to sitting on sofas. So I have to like pin myself there. I have to put my arm behind it just so I can stay upright.
Okay, I get it. But either way, your point is well observed that Robin's, the way she sits on a sectional is just unacceptable.
Yeah, she's an armpit sitter, and I don't approve. And that's what this episode is, by the way. For anyone wondering why you're talking about this, you want to talk about Wendy's kidney stone more? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's either we talk about the way Robin sits on a sofa, or we talk about watching her kids get measured for suits. Like, what do you want? Which is it? So Robin's like, you know, your father and I want to talk about something important. You know, we've been engaged to be married for over 2 years, and we think it's time to start planning a wedding. The kids are like, yeah, no shit, mother. Here's my PowerPoint. I've been waiting for this day. You know, like, you just know those kids have already planned it out. There's been so much time. They're like, let's just get the ball rolling. We'll do it.
Yeah, one of them's like, I thought there was no wedding. You just get married and it's over. And she's like, no, because we had a prenup situation, and then we realized that we were both going to be broke again soon, so it didn't really matter. So now we have to plan it. Go to the fucking city hall and Chuck E. Cheese. Now I have to watch you get a special dress for your second wedding that you're only having to get people off your ass. Come on.
I mean, like, I respect the fact that she's keeping it to four people. She's not been drawing out this process for like the big expensive Bravo wedding. Although, to be fair, she probably was. And Bravo said, we're not doing this. We made you an offer 3 years ago and you didn't take it. So at this point, we'll bring our cameras, but we're not paying for anything, which is probably why it's only four people. But either way, she's like, we'll keep it small and not even my parents are going to be invited. And she talks about how her mom will probably be upset, but it'll be like, you know, they'll get over it. And then she goes, so where do you guys think we should do the wedding? And one son is like, Jamaica. And she's like, what about Maryland, but at the Chesapeake Bay? Now, how is that a counter offer to Jamaica?
Isn't that in her backyard? And also, why won't you invite your mother if you're just going to do it in the park? I mean, that's really shitty. If you're not inviting your mother because you're like, well, Jamaica could be dangerous because of COVID and you're older or something, but you're not going to let your mother come to your backyard pond. Come on.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just mad. It's like, where do you want to do the wedding? Hey, can we go to, let's do it in Paris. Okay, but hear me out. What about Delaware?
Chuck E. Cheese. So there's another page of notes for this. I don't know why I refuse to read them. You can go ahead if you want to.
Well, no, nothing else really happens except for Brian A. Lunsford, haberdasher and owner of Brian Alexander Bespoke, comes around. He gets like a very formal chyron. Normally it's like Taylor. But he gets a full thing. It's like, Brian A. Lunsford graduated 5th in his class at Lunsford University in haberdasher and owner and creator of all things hats, the originator of the hat concept, and first person to ever design a hat in the history of mankind, is here.
Yeah. He really did. He got like a full on. It's like, are you filling these out yourselves now? Like, you know, when you do a show and they're like, please send us your send us your bio. And mine is like, Ronnie Karam, he's alive. He can stand up occasionally. Watch what crappens. The end. And some people are like, Natalie graduated from Juilliard from the art. She enjoys filings, basements, home goods, and very classy things that Ronnie doesn't understand. She's currently reading both Emily Brooks and Mary Higgins Clark. Who is she?
Well, that's like when you go to a show on Broadway and you go through the playbill and they clearly all have to submit their own bios.
Yeah,
and there's like some people who, yeah, yeah. Is that what, okay, that's what you
I'm
meant.
Like,
yeah,
hi, I'm Ronnie. And then other people are like, well, after graduating from her 3-year stint on Different Strokes.
Jordana went to the Dana Plato School of Pottery and Emotion. R.I.P.
Yeah, and it's like a full 30 years of everything they've ever done.
Yeah. So the only other thing I have to say about the scene is that this guy comes over to make them bespoke suits and everything. And Robin has already picked out a date. It's going to be in July, and it's basically 40 days away. And it's like, oh, I hope we have time to get this all done before the wedding. So, like, normally this is a classic reality show thing, is that a wedding or a big event is planned with an unreasonable timeline, and that's supposed to raise the stakes. And it's like, oh my God, there's not enough time to get everything done. But I'm like, in this case, it's only the four of you guys, so I think there's some flexibility of when you go to town hall.
Yeah,
you know,
there's like not going to be any raising of the stakes. You're not even going to have stakes. You'll probably stop at McDonald's on your way home.
Yeah, which I actually approve of. But the point is, you know, like, how about you say we'll get married when the seats arrive, and then then we'll put them on and go to City Hall.
Well, I also like Brian Haberdasher, an owner of all things linen, because Juan's like, well, what should I wear? And he goes, just not that suit from your NBA draft. And they show Juan in this suit that's like 10, you know, sizes too big. I was like, okay, Brian, now I see why they let you write your own Chiron.
Yeah, exactly. So now we go to Mia at her home office, and she's like writing a whole bunch of things on different post-its, like she's announcing the next guest on SNL, you know?
Mia pretending she's the busiest person in Potomac by writing multiple sticky notes. I can't.
Yeah, she's all these locations on sticky notes and attaching them to her glass desk.
And she's like, I don't know if I can do that. That might not work. Phone. Look, talking on the phone. No, that will simply not work. I will move the pink posting 2 inches. Oh, I have to go. Gordon's here. Hey, babe.
Gordon, I have a question. And she's like, she tells us, the timing of this girls' trip is great because I always put myself last. I'm always kids, family, business, and then me, which is really how I felt 2 weeks ago when I went on vacation also.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, did you register for Jeremiah's cupcakes at school? I need you to attend. I won't be here, Gordon. And he's like, I can attend. I can be in the parking lot. No, Gordon, no one needs your lip licking in the fucking parking lot of a school.
Don't need Gordon giving out like free chiropractic exams for the joint in the school parking lot.
Gordon just licking his lips, offering candy in the parking lot at school. Anybody want a cupcake? We brought cupcakes.
Cupcake function. I feel like that's some sort of insult. It's like a dance for people who were beaten up in school. Yeah, you want to go to the cupcake function?
The cupcake function. It's the bullied kids function. They're like, Ronnie, like I'm so function. Sorry. Were people calling you fat? Here's some cupcakes. That is totally what we called help in my school. Okay, so she's like, it's not normal for the moms to be like that. You have to go because Aunt Cindy Ashley wants me in Mexico for her birthday.
She's framing it like She doesn't want to go to Mexico. Her friend wants her to be there. And because she always puts herself last and puts her friends before her, she's going to do it, you know? Yeah,
she's such a good person going to Mexico. Also, any mother out there can back me up. It's cupcake day, which means it's your turn to bring the cupcakes. Go to the fucking store, buy a 20-pack of cupcakes, and send them with your kid to school. Why are we acting like this is, like, cupcake day? Oh, no!
Also, like, literally for two seasons, every time we see Mia at home, she's making cupcakes or pancakes with her kids. Like, you make cupcakes so often, how do you not have them ready for this function? Okay, they probably built this function for you. They're like, well, Mia keeps bringing cupcakes in. We might as well make it a cupcake day, and now she doesn't have them ready? Come on!
And so this is where she has the problem with Jacqueline. This is where we find out the Jacqueline storyline. So she's like, Jacqueline is upset because I wouldn't help with the girls.
Yeah, because Jacqueline wanted Mia to arrange a nanny for her. That's what she is claiming. That's what Mia's claiming. The backstory here is that Jacqueline's sister is Mia's nanny. And so the arrangement that they have is that if Jacqueline needs someone last minute for her kids, like if Jacqueline's own nanny isn't there, Mia always is like, oh, just like drop the kids at my house. So it's like okay to do that sometimes, but all the time, that's not fair.
That's pretty funny though. Jacqueline's sister is the nanny, and so Jacqueline can't have her sister take care of her kids, which is totally reasonable in a family to be like, will you take care of my kids while I'm gone for the weekend? And Mia's like, no, because you're going to be taking care of my kids, even though their kids are together all the time. And Mia is the reason Jacqueline's going on this trip in the first
place. I was just about to say that Mia brings Jacqueline onto the show to be her sidekick, and therefore Jacqueline now is going on this trip. She's really going there to be Mia's friend, and then Mia won't let her keep her kids with her, like with Gordon over the weekend. I mean, that's just classic Mia trash.
That's so shitty. Love it. And Gordon's like, wait, she wanted you to arrange a nanny for her? I mean, the girls are her responsibility, not yours. And she goes, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mia, who has spent a lot of time talking, rightfully so, about like the trauma that comes with rejection, or the trauma that comes with, you know, being a foster child in the system, here actively just like not actively saying she does not want to be have kids in her house.
Oh, Mia. So she's like, well, I'm exhausted, Gordon. Like, mentally drained. And then she, like, puts her hand on her neck to prove how mentally she drained. How mentally
it's a lot of post-its.
She's like, oh, so many post-its. So then, travel. They're going in two groups. Ashley is going with Karen and Wendy because they're going to keep Wendy away from everybody because everybody doesn't like Wendy right now. So
yeah,
they're going in two groups. And Ashley does her bullshit of, my birthday this year is going to look so different because I'm a single lady now. As much as I'd like to pretend that that I have this, I just don't know what's on the other side of a marriage. It's Michael. That's what's on the other side. It's Michael still paying the bill for your house. Okay. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's what's on the other side. So now we're at the airport and we have the first group that they arrive at the airport. That's Sasha and what's her face?
Mia.
No, not Sasha.
Gisella, Robin.
Robin. Yeah, this is the second group. I'm sorry. Yes, they show up. They're hugging. It's like the typical airplane footage. And then we're in Mexico. And this is where we see our first stock footage of like an alligator in slow motion. And we even see like, is it larva or something?
What was that? It was like this weird, it wasn't a caterpillar. It was white, but it was like stuck to a rock and it looked like a worm. But then it stood up and started like.
Was it a maggot? I mean.
It looked like a maggot. It looked like a big maggot worm thing.
I mean, was it just that like. The Potomac producers got like a 2-for-1 deal on like their stock footage. It's like, okay, we'd like to order 3 shots of alligators, 2 crashing waves, a dandelion that can fade to black and white, and I don't know, maybe just like a deer. Maggot. We need some more deer. And they're like, hey, so, you know, if you order one more thing, we'd throw in a free maggot. All right. Give us some ducks in Potomac. We got a free maggot.
It's like, hey, this is where Michael and Ashley go for vacation. You know what? Michael has to have splooged on a rock somewhere. Can we just get footage of that? See how that kid's doing? It's just like trying to grow independently. It's like the reason it stands up in the first place is because it's trying to pinch a producer's ass. It's like
independent splooge. All the splooge that's independent, throw your hands up at me. So,
guys, Wendy, there's some big news here. So they get in the car, and Ashley has Corona waiting for her. She's so excited. And then guess what Wendy says? I'm still recovering from kidney stone surgery. Oh, really? Good. I'm so glad you can make it, Wendy. Hope you get to talk about your kidney stones.
Yeah, well, she was like, does anyone need some stock footage of my kidney stones for this scene? They're like, no, we got a maggot.
We've got Michael Splooge doing some sort of a belly dance on a rock. We're fine.
It's like the slime from Ghostbusters 2, you know? It's like responding to music.
Yeah, they're looking through a brochure of adventures that they could take from the hotel. Falling off of a cliff on a zip line. Oh my God, that looks fun. Parasailing. That looks fun. Listening to Wendy bitch about kidney stones. You know, I'm into that one. Let's do that one.
They cheers. She has to drink a lot of water. She's allowed to drink, but she has to drink a lot of water. So they're do a Corona cheers. And Ashley tells us that she's really excited to do some cultural things in Mexico because she loves Mexico so much. And then as evidence of how much she loves Mexico, they just put this goofy ass photo on screen of Ashley and Michael Darby standing in the water with this giant dolphin in their arms smiling. And well, you know that dolphin's not happy. It's just smiling because it knows what it has to do. You know that dolphin beforehand was like, all right, gotta make the people happy today. It's like, oh, fucking two more American tourists. Hi, kids. I'm ready. I'm your dolphin for today.
Production had to pay that dolphin a settlement after Michael fondled it. It's like, I was not supposed to be picked up this way. I don't know how to do a dolphin sound.
I don't know either. I don't know if mine sounded like a dolphin or just like, I don't know, a typewriter.
Mine is just Mia doing aerobics. So then we go to, oh, by the way, also I love that Ashley says, yeah, we're really doing cultural things because we really want to respect Mexico. And they show up and everyone's like, Arriba or Mexico, is that how you say it?
Yeah, or like later when they're like, we want to really respect Mexico, we want to do cultural things, so we're going to stand in the lobby with maracas and greet people.
Do you have any sombreros? Hey, can I be a tortilla chip?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for...
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home. The place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Brooke Rappin's commercial.
So then we see the alligator again. And now we're at another airport. I'm assuming it's the airport of Mexico. And things have happened. And Mia's like, I am so livid. And for a moment, I thought someone had spilled a cocktail on her stack of Post-its. And I was like, well, there goes her business plan. You know, I'd be mad too.
And Robin explains, she's like, well, on the plane, we're trying to figure out what they were talking about. And I couldn't tell, but I could tell they're not good. And Giselle takes over. She's like, usually, yeah, first class is people chilling, listening to their air buds. But this first class was Mia and Jacqueline screaming about how they mother their children. Jacqueline was like, it takes a village. And Mia said, you ain't raising your kids right, bitch. What? It was bad. It was very, very bad.
Robin's like, you can tell it was like really pent up feelings. Like, really? No shit, Sherlock. So then Mia's like, then I don't care about her kids. Is that what she's saying? And Candace, oddly enough, Candace is really trying to be the peacemaker this episode. She keeps on saying, you know, it's like a sister argument. You know, it's like, you know, it's like if Trina and I were to have creative differences, it'd be that kind of thing. You know, it'll work out in the end.
And Candace also, at one point when she first got to the airport, Jacqueline went, oh, hi, Candace, and hugged her. And she goes, is that weird? I'm going to hug you. Is that weird? And Candace goes, yeah, that is weird. But now I guess Candace has warmed up to Jacqueline. So Jacqueline.
Well, because now Jacqueline's mad at Mia. So now Candace all of a sudden likes Jacqueline.
Yes. Isn't it funny how that works? So Mia's like, well, she thinks I don't care about her kid. So here's what happened. Gordon came to Kara's live show and we're sitting there. And I said, why do you have a tent in your lap? And Gordon just said, but then he said that the nanny is looking for Ava and Lucas. And I'm like, but Jacqueline's sitting right here. Those are her kids. Why doesn't she ask Jacqueline?
Yeah. And Jacqueline was like, so she said she felt I had not communicated with my sister effectively, and Mia being the controlling Mia wanted to tell me what I did wrong and didn't do right, et cetera, what I did and didn't do wrong. So Mia's like, and then she says, if it takes a village to raise a family, but you wouldn't know that. And it's hurtful knowing I didn't have a village to raise me. And I feel like that was opportunistic of her and low, very low. So Mia's basically saying, like, the fact that Jacqueline's saying, hey, you know, we all have to help out. That was an insult because Mia was in the foster system.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I don't think that's cool that Mia can use like being a foster child against somebody, especially when Jacqueline and her mother were the village that raised you, you asshole.
Like, exactly.
That makes it like 10 times as bad that she said that.
Right. And that's why I think it's like it's very rich that she's saying this when like the point is there are children who need a place where they can be taken care of. And like it's the easiest thing in the world right now because it's literally Jacqueline's sister taking care of Mia's kids. I understand you don't want people to take advantage of your generosity, but like literally you're bringing Jacqueline onto the show to help you out right now.
Yeah, and Jacqueline's sister is her village. So it's like you took her village to raise your citizens. It's all just fucked up. Also, I have questions here because
yes.
It starts with my sister, her nanny, is calling me looking for her kids. Well, she's looking for her kids. What was she saying? Like, I have your kids, so where are her kids? Like, who has her kids? Is that the deal? Like, I don't understand the question.
You know, maybe it really was like that commercial. Maybe like she saw the commercial. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? And she's like, oh, I am not sure I do know where my children are. I'm going to call Mia just in case. Maybe she's seen the kids.
My mom had the best response to that commercial. Whenever that came on when I was a kid, it would say, it's whatever o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? She would go, who cares? That always killed me.
It's such a shady commercial. It's amazing that was something that would just air all the time. Like, oh shit, it's 10 o'clock. Where are my kids?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Dead. It's like, geez.
Wow.
Nice commercial. Yeah.
It was always like a skateboard. Like, it was almost like a swing set swinging in the dark or something, or like a skateboard on the side. It's like, by the way, check the storm gutters. There might be a clown down there.
10 o'clock p.m. when all children decide to jump off their swings at the same time.
Anywho, so Ashley is now pulling vibrators out of her luggage because she's going to give everyone a vibrator because she thinks it's a good time to do it. And she thinks that there's some people who don't have vibrators that they should get them. So now's the time to get them. And then the other women are getting into their Sprinter van. Thanks for your
fucking Snickers fun size vibrator, by the way. I mean, what's that thing gonna do? It's like when somebody gives you like a little pocket flashlight. Like, really? Like,
well, one of those comes out too. Ron is like, it's like when someone gives you a very small novelty wedding veil. Well, Ronnie, you're really in line with this episode.
Then the other ladies are coming from the airport, and they are rolling their bags to a bus. And this is where Mia's like sexy dancing. She's like, "Oh, viva Mexico, arriba! Oh. Well, I'm gonna tell you who can't sit by me."
And by the way, she's like grinding on the open door of the van. Like, wow. Like, is there anything sexier than someone just like undulating on like an automatic window thing? Like, so yeah, she gets in and into the van and they start heading to the hotel. And this is where Karen comes into Ash's room with a flashlight. And she's like, "Well, excuse me. I'm clearing my throat. So Giselle said, how do I get a call from Mia? And I take my assignments very seriously. So I'm going to give her this flashlight, if you know what I'm saying. Tee hee."
Oh, yeah. That was a novelty flashlight. Oh, yes. They could do checkups on each other's vajayjays.
Yeah.
So then on the bus, Candace is like, "Oh, my God, my coochie's so hot." And she's like, "Now, speaking of fanny coochies, it's important because I'm fun Candace this episode, okay?"
Yeah.
"Do you look your vagina in the mirror, everybody?" And Robin's like, "Oh, my God, now Candace is turning into Mia."
Yeah, she's clearly Robin does not want to talk about this. And then we cut back to the hotel and Karen has like a veil for Robin. She basically has all these like little like funny joke gifts for everyone except for Charisse. And Karen goes, "Oh, you know, we don't have one for Charisse. Okay, we're good. Let's go. God is good. Let's go. That's fine. She doesn't need one."
So then back with the other ladies, Robin's like, "I want to see Charisse interact with Karen." And Charisse says, "Well, Thea told Candace that I put a dark cloud over the group. So I don't even know if I want to stay at that hotel. Reservations? This is me, Charisse. Is there a Four Seasons here?"
And Mia goes, "I feel like Charisse is fun." I'm like, yes. What part of Charisse sitting in the backseat sweating with a look on her face that says, "Oh," doesn't say fun?
So Karen decides, oh yeah, Charisse loves champagne. At least she used to. The season she built a champagne room and then got fired. So she's like, "A small champagne bottle. It was years ago. I don't even know the woman anymore, but a small champagne bottle should work. Hold on. Is there a fly on your nose?" "No, I'm swinging about."
I'd prefer not to use the word fly. I use the word boobs. Thank you. So
it's a titty on my nose. Just broke your own rule there, Karen. Oh, I just violated it.
Well, no, I don't like calling my breast titties, but I do like calling flies titties. It's all about context.
So then back on the bus, Charisse is like, "I love champagne." So then the bus arrives and the lady, Karen, Ashley, and Wendy are standing at the hotel front entrance shaking maracas at them.
Yeah, I think they were able to do this because I'm not sure anyone else is in this hotel, by the way. It is empty. This is an empty haunted hotel and they're all in it. They don't realize that like there is massive doom awaiting them. So the women all come in. It's like, oh, hi, there's hugs and everything. And Karen goes, wait. "Now, we're not going to go change clothes right now. We're going to go into the Amber Room because we have a surprise for you." So they go like down the hallway to some hotel bar or something that they've reserved this whole space for them. And they walk in and they start singing happy birthday because there's a little cake set up and everything. And Karen goes, "Now, this is how you do a birthday party. It's simple. Nothing over the top, just because it's important to celebrate a birthday girl right away." Which was her way of being like, you know,
unlike you, fuck bitches. You, Mia.
Yeah. Fuck you, Mia.
Yeah. So Ashley's like, "I just love these girls. They've been with me through, gosh, when I was just with Michael, or when we opened that restaurant trying to convince people kangaroo meat was the new awesome blossom. God, through that time I was possibly fucking the chef blatantly on camera. Oh, wow, so many times.
Like when I made them go to a local gay pride celebration so they could hear me sing Coffee and Sex for the good people of Surrey County.
Like the time Michael grabbed a production person's ass and Monique may or may not have erased the tape of it. Oh, God, what good times we've had together.
So now everyone's like sort of eating in this space. And then Mia changes tables because she says that she doesn't want to break bread with Satan, which is Jacqueline.
Oh, sorry. I was seeing how much sodium this water had in it.
Oh, hey, how much?
Is 55 milligrams a lot of sodium?
I don't know. Does it give an RDA recommended daily 2% amount?
2%. Good call.
Yeah. So maybe add some more.
Okay. I'll keep up. I'll try and get some more
salt to it. You want to get to 100%, right? We do everything 100% on this podcast.
Yeah, I definitely want some more sodium. So they do the happy birthday stuff. And then Mia calls her Satan. And Giselle's like, who is Satan? Nah. And Jacqueline's like, she was being a devil. She said, I don't have any friends. And Mia's like, well, let me tell you something about us girls. We fight every day. And Jacqueline's like, look, I am crying now. This was the worst ever. She's like, oh, that wasn't the worst. The worst was when you tried to break a brick over my head.
And then you think Jacqueline's gonna be like, oh, you're being ridiculous. It was a piece of paper. She goes, that was 20 years ago. That's not where we are now. Okay. We're in our post-brick phase. And Mia said, so I wouldn't let Jacqueline copy my math homework in 11th grade and she got upset and threw a brick at me. So this is like nothing.
And Karen's like, and how does she deal with it when she doesn't have control, Jacqueline? Does she turn on you like a sha-sha? And Mia's like, well, I don't turn. I keep it 100 post-it notes, there, man. You know how hard it is to write fuck you, bitch, on 100 post-it notes?
And Jacqueline says, well, I think she needs more dick. And Candace goes, what? Who has dick? And so then Mia says, oh, you would know? You want to go there? You want to talk about all your dick? Don't try me. You're feeling yourself too much. Back down.
It's like, no, you back down. Just then keep your legs close to married men. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloopy, bloopy, bloop.
Mia, this is the second line that you've stolen this season. The first, of course, from Big Business when you tried to say, is a frog's ass watertight? Okay? You can't do this. You can't steal other housewives.
Leaks.
You cannot take Nene Leakes' line. It's too iconic.
Yeah. So then Charisse goes, married? And she's like, yeah, that's what she does. And now Jacqueline's like, I'm done with you. Done. I'm done with you. You sold yourself to the fucking devil. And Candace is like, no, you're sisters. Can't we just be sisters?
And Jacqueline's like, I have fought for you my entire fucking life. Every tooth and brick. I mean, tooth and nail, okay? And you would say this shit? You would say this shit?
She's like, what I would never do is sleep with your fucking husband. And Kara's like, what? WTF? WTT. That's what the titty. Broke my own rule with that one.
Jacqueline's like, I would never do this to you. I would never. And Shasha goes, well, she never said that you did that. And Giselle's like, where's the disconnect? Ah, I don't know where the disconnect is. Ah. Everyone's just like watching this like sideshow because they're not involved. So they don't really even care that much.
And it's also such a stupid made up fight. You guys basically came on this show and told us that you're doing threesomes with Gordon. And now Mia says, close your legs to married men. And Jacqueline's like, you're saying I'm fucking your husband? Which even if she was, you guys have already said it multiple times. Nobody cares, you two.
Yeah. So now Candace is like, take your friend outside. Take her outside.
I don't want to.
And she's like, but she's your best friend. You brought her here. She's like, well, this is how she's been treating me for a while. And she's like, just take her outside. She's very upset.
So then Wendy is trying to be friendly with Jacqueline. She's like, I have a sister. It's okay to be upset. And Wendy's like, Mia has a problem with me. She has a problem with Karen. And now you've fallen out with your friend of 20 years. That's guany. That's all I'm saying. It's guany. And my kidney stone hurts. Okay. You've got a heart like my kidney. Stone. That's what I'll say.
And so now, you know, Candace is like, come on, Mia, she's crying. And Mia's like, I don't care. Remember, I don't do anything for her kids, even though they're at my house eating my damn food. It's like, well, didn't you say that they're not allowed to come? I can't follow.
Yeah, and Jacqueline's like, we have 30 years of friendship, and that shit's gone. That is in the fucking trash can. It's over, Mia.
Jacqueline, I'm going to have to request that you put down that loaf of bread. It is not, in fact, a brick. Just put it right back down.
I'm taking it to my children. It takes a village.
And you know what you use to build villages? Bricks. Brick by brick. I'm just trying to demonstrate some things.
So Mia says that she's very thankful and grateful that Jacqueline and her mom opened their door to her. So she's grateful, but is it an open checkbook forever? I mean.
Yeah. I don't know why they're fighting. I really don't.
It's stupid. So now, and then Candace is like, this is a domestic issue. And the police say that domestic issues are the most dangerous. At least that's what they said when I clobbered Chris on the side of the head with my purse and called him all sorts of unprintable names at a valet stand.
I also would just like to clarify that a domestic issue is different than chasing someone with a butter knife at a dinner party. That is not a domestic issue. So please don't use this against me. At this point, by the way, Jacqueline's now doing that thing. It's like, it's very much like a regression to childhood where she's, her mouth is just like pursed closed, but she's doing like very intense, like inhale sniffles, like she's like trying to like keep the cries inside, but that's like what the kids do when the teachers come in and separate everyone in class, and there's like one kid in the corner being, I'm fine. So she's doing that for the rest of the episode.
And then Candace, with more of her witty Candace comments. First, before I diss Candace and her shitty comments, I have to say she looks adorable in that pink wig. She looks so pretty. Okay, but then she's like, more surprises? I mean, you've got Ashley surprising us with her giant forehead. You've got Mia surprising us with domestic issues. I don't need more surprises. You have the same forehead as Ashley. Would you stop with the forehead shaming? Cut it out.
Well, that's why she does it. She is projecting. So, you know what also has the same thing as something else? This show with Miami. Because now they go outside to visit a shaman. Our second shaman of the week, I'd like to add. So they go outside and Karen's like, let's be open with the process. Sort of like what I told Ray on our first date. And it's my first time with a shaman.
Just like I told Ray, it doesn't count if I'm just blowing conch. So she says, I wanted us to clear our negative spirits, so I Googled it. And I called a shaman. So she's telling everyone, be respectful now. Be respectful. And Candace is like, we came to the beach because you're going to let a random man with feathers blow smoke at us.
Yeah. By the way, the whole reason why I didn't invite Charisse to my live show is that I accidentally invited the shaman. You know, I just write an SHA and see what autofill takes me. That's all. It's an innocent mistake.
So this guy has the best job on the beach. He's like, hold hands. What is your intention? Okay, bye. Oh, also, the camera kept getting really close close-ups of Robin's terrible extensions. So I just want to thank
you. Oh, I know. That was hilarious. There's a close-up on her track. And it also, it was funny that this show didn't even bother trying to make this into a real holistic experience. Like on Dallas and especially on Miami this last week, they really slowed down the whole show and were like, yeah, this is sort of silly, like new wave stuff, but actually it's meaningful. Like we didn't see them all crying and like saying what they're letting go of, what they want to apologize for. They just sort of stood around the beach while tourists walked around, and then they just like walked into the water and were like, let's put our feet in the water.
So Charisse says, I wish happiness for everyone, because if you're happy, you don't have to be rude to everybody else. And Karen's like, I don't know why this has been Leprechaun, i.e. Charisse, keeps showing up looking for a pot of gold, or some coins, or some food, or some friendship. Just stop. Stop.
Has been Leprechaun. So Charisse is like, hello, is this the hotel at the end of the other end of the rainbow? Hi, you have reservations for tonight?
No. So Candace is like, Jacqueline, go hug your sister. And basically they're all doting over these two in their fake fight, right? And yeah. Candace says that she didn't really like Jacqueline at first, but now she likes her because she's truly confused by her friend's behavior. And also, yeah. I hate her friend. So
yeah, more importantly.
Out. Yeah.
So Jacqueline's like not willing to hug Mia. She's still crying. She's still holding it in. And I mean, I kind of feel bad for her because she is really crying. Like, she has really been rattled by this fight. And she's not getting it together, you know? So they're all just like, now they go upstairs to go clean and get ready for dinner and everything. And there's the usual like calling home, FaceTiming home. And Robin finds the little veil that Karen got for her. And she's like, oh, it's a veil. I'm going to put it in my hair. So then she goes outside to look at the view and the veil promptly blows away.
I loved her call with Juan. He's like, hello. She says, are you there? And he goes, yeah. Are you in Mexico? Okay, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. She goes, oh, okay. Oh, they gave me a bride-to-be veil. He's like, are we still on the phone? Or, okay.
She said, hey, Juan, why do you keep poking the camera? He goes, oh, sorry. I thought I was playing Wordle. Okay, wrong screen.
Yeah, her veil flies away. Bad sign. So then we get the Survivor music again. Boom.
That's Karen doing the Survivor song, sort of.
It's Karen gurgling.
She's back to White Lotus.
So Ashley, Giselle, and Karen go wait in a restaurant for everybody else. And Ashley's like, did Giselle tell you I saw her on a date? It was a guy from your dad's birthday. And she's like, yes, Steve. He's a great the guy.
Yeah, and then we see a flashback from when they went to New Orleans a few years ago. And there's Steve. So I guess, you know, I like that Giselle dates for personality. And so Giselle's like, you know, she's like, I like a guy.
Gosh, sorry, Steve. That was from Ben, Steve.
No, I mean, it's not mutually exclusive to anything else. I feel like he probably has a great personality.
He literally said nothing. You're like, wow, you know what? I love that Giselle, like, is open to dating, like, chunkier Daddy Warbucks with no money. I mean, that was pretty cute. That was nice.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, Giselle's dating track record on this show has proven that she's really cares about personality first, I would have to say. So let's just look at the tape. You see lots of men with lots of personality. Lots of personality. Yeah.
So nobody really cares, right? So then
no one cares.
They
no
start one talking cares. About Charisse because Charisse comes in and Ashley's like, hi, Shasha. And Giselle's like, well, hello, Charisse. And she's all excited because this is Giselle's storyline, you know, starting otherwise. So we get this like, bum, bada, bum, bada, bum, 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 bada, bum, bum, bada, bada, bum, bum, like the Survivor drums.
Sorry, that's Cruel Summer. Just thought I'd open up, expand the repertoire a little bit. I'm here.
So they're making small talk, and Giselle asks how Michael is, and she's like, it's so weird because, like, it's my birthday, and so he gave me balloons, and then the kids were in little birthday hats, and I just don't know what to make of it because, like, I had my hand on Dean's knee, but then Michael had his hand on Dean's knee, and then we were just holding hands.
I mean, have you guys ever felt that sublime sensation of someone's scaly skin that's also clammy, scaly and clammy? It's kind of sexy.
I didn't really realize what was happening until I realized it wasn't Dean's knee at all. It was an Amex card, and I won! Dinner's on me!
I mean, I sort of thought, had second thoughts about this divorce the moment that Michael took my hand and then guided it onto our nanny's butt, and I thought, wow, we could just fondle people together.
So their divorce is bullshit, you know. And I like the reaction. It's like, you're toying with our hearts. Like, It's her divorce. Oh my God, I'm trying to be a ring person, but I dropped my ring. Oh no. I can't be a ring person if I can't find it.
Oh, is this your thumb ring?
Yeah.
Yeah. You turn northern Minnesota there for a moment. You're like, yeah.
Let me tell you something about a thumb ring. It'll roll. Jeez, I feel like I just trekked halfway across the country to pick you up, my little... Oh my God, I'm a thumb ring person again. Back on my finger. All right,
There's something about talking about Michael Darby that just makes you want to go for a ring, right?
My precious.
Okay, when does something happen in this scene? I'm getting bored.
Nothing. So Wendy shows off her, she's like leans back and Ashley pokes at her tattoo. She's like, I have 5 and I'm getting a 6th one. It's of my kidney stone, so I'll never forget.
It's the look on the doctor's face when he said, you have another kidney stone. You've got to take some more off your plate.
My next tattoo is a plate with a kidney stone on it.
Stupid. I like when Ashley voice. Ashley goes, oh my God, Wendy, you have a tattoo? And she goes, I have 5 of them. Like, God, you people don't know me at all.
Don't you know? You always get a tattoo after you get a degree. I mean, obviously. So now everyone's arriving to the table. There's food and, you know, food is coming, food's going. Robin's like, whoa, I had this veil and it was really cute, but then it blew away. And I was like, that's a bad sign. But my track somehow stayed in. Weird.
So they bring them food and they're like, these are shrimp tacos. These are fish tacos. These are a pastor. And this is octopus. And they're all like, ew.
I know. They had such a reaction to octopus. They acted like they had never even considered that it could be something that's eaten.
Yeah. So Karen is like, oh, yeah? Even the veil was like, bitch, you lie. Even the veil knew to get the fuck out of that room.
It's true. And then they present, like, Giselle talks about how she has the flashlight. She's like, I got a flashlight, because Karen said she wants me to get a car, too. Wah! And they're like, ha-ha. And Jacqueline's just scowling.
So then Candace asks again. She's like, well, the question was, do you guys look at your vaginas? And Ashley's like, yeah, I mean, I've looked at it since I have kids and stuff. And Candace says, yeah, well, I look now before the memory of it getting all stretched out, you know? I mean, and I thought I was pregnant for a minute, but I'm not. So it's good that I'm getting ready to restart IVF in a few weeks. They're all just looking at her like, mm-hmm. Great.
They're not willing to help her out with the storyline. She's like, so, hey, has anyone been to Los Angeles and eaten at the Ivy? Speaking of the Ivy, I'm on my IVF journey, guys. Anyone? Anyone ask me any questions about it? Storyline.
Has anybody read the new issue of VF Vanity Fair? Oh, speaking of, I
I was just listening to my favorite Janet Jackson song, If. Speaking of which, if you put a V in between those letters, I'm on an IVF journey. Guys, it's so crazy.
So they're hot because it's hot there. It's Mexico. So Giselle asked Karen if she's planning any adventures for them. And she's like, Ashley's the activity person. She's going to have you swinging from ropes. So Giselle's like, okay, well, I have a confession. God, here we go. Yeah. I did tell Karen that you posted that video, Charisse, because you didn't get invited to the live show.
Well, that's not totally true, because I didn't care about not being invited, especially because there was a hoverboard convention in town at the same weekends.
And Karen's like, well, that's not exactly what you told me. And Charisse is like, now, when I posted it, did I think you didn't like it? Probably not. I thought probably you weren't going to like it. She goes, no, what I don't like is that you didn't send it to me. And you're constantly asking me, weren't we friends? Weren't we friends? Or something to that nature. And to me, it's like, this is the perfect, funny, hilarious thing to send to me. Not that I would be friends with your ass anyway.
I know, what a strange manipulation she's attempting. And Karen's like, yeah, you're the one who's begging to be friends with my ass. And Sasha goes, let me be very clear, which is always my favorite when someone does that. And Sasha does the little finger point where she puts like the butt of her hand on the table, but the finger goes up sort of in a diagonal. Let me be very clear, right? And Karen goes, I've been extremely clear. And Sasha goes, I'm cool with us not being friends. I'd rather you be a woman and just say you don't want to be friends instead of going to other people saying stuff.
Well, excuse me, but no one has talked about your ass in years. And everyone's like, oh. And she goes, and don't question my womanhood. Don't you do that. Questioning my womanhood. How dare you? This is my favorite part of a Karen fight where she just starts making up things to be upset about.
Yeah. Or she'll find something and use that as her exit, you know, get indignant and use that as her exit out of the fight. So Sasha comes back with some pretty unassailable logic. When Karen says, don't question my womanhood, Sasha goes, why not? It's like, oh, okay. So Karen's like, she's like, you're being rude, Charisse. She goes, well, you're really going to say I haven't called you? When I was going through a divorce, did you call to say, ask, hey, friend, how are you? I lost my father. Did you call me to say, hey, Charisse, how are you doing?
No, because she hated you. Because you had already had the reunion where you accused her of fucking the chauffeur old blue eyes, okay? She hated your guts. I don't call people I hate and say, oh my God, you're getting divorced. I'm sorry. That's opening a door to listening to hours of someone cry that I hate, okay? So Karen's like, Charisse, you better tell them what I did. You better tell them, and you tell them that a woman did it. And Charisse is like, oh, you sent me a text. Yes, because I lost my mother as well, and I simply said to you, banana, banana, eggplant, broken heart, cry face, and then one of those little triple Z's. I sort of don't know what those mean.
It was a very thoughtful set of emojis. They're called emojis, right? And I liked them quite a bit, and I thought you should like them too. It was above and beyond. By the way, this whole thing reeks of Bethany and Jill season 3 of Roni. Am I right?
How dare you not call me when Bobby was in the hospital.
That's what, and Bethany's saying, no, I sent an email. I sent an email, okay? I sent an email. That's what this is. So when you said, of course she didn't do anything because she hated her, and in some ways, that is actually a defense for Jill's Aaron.
Yeah, but well, no, because Jill and Bethany were still friends at that point. So it was shitty that Bethany was like,
there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like relitigating that for a brief second. Okay, we're done.
No. I think that Jill had a point, but Jill came on that season just wanting to tear Bethany down because Bethany was popular. And she decided she wanted to fight with Bethany. And so she made it this big, huge thing and didn't shut up about it for 20 episodes.
Yeah, like the time she had Bethany on the phone on speaker and like it was the ambush. Oh, God, what a time to be alive. Anyway, Tha-Tha, this is a mere shadow of that fight over here. So Tha-Tha's like, you're really going to say that I, oh, yeah, I already said that part. Oh, Tha-Tha. Anyway, so Karen says, you know, like all I had to give you was that line of emojis because I've lost my mother as well. And Charisse is like, and I drove and I was there for you.
So basically, Karen didn't ever contact Charisse because she hated her guts. And oh, by the way, Giselle's like, it's true. She drove to you. Like, thanks, Giselle. And Karen didn't, but Charisse was kind enough to come to Karen's mother's funeral. Okay. So Karen's like, Giselle, calm down. I will say this to you. You keep my mama's name out of your mouth. Do you understand that? Questioning my motherhood. And now, what are you questioning my mother's motherhood? 2 generations of motherhood being questioned. Go ahead. Yo mama, my mother's motherhood. I dare you.
Yeah, Karen is...
Because her teeth are going all around her mouth right now. She's very angry.
Yeah, Karen has now realized her way out of this fight is to go down this path and to get really mad. And so she whips herself into a frenzy and she's like,
don't disrespect my mother. It's been 5 years. What you will not do is fuck with my mother. I will whoop your ass.
And Giselle's like, I have no idea why I'm watching this geriatric fight happen. Nah, there has to be a reason. Whose man did Charisse have sex with? One of your boyfriends? So Giselle's just dropping bombs left and right in the interviews.
Right, because Giselle started this fight. That's why you're watching this geriatric fight. But they're not getting to the part that she wants Charisse to get to. So now she's telling us the reason she set up this fight with Charisse and Karen is because she wants Charisse to say that Karen's been cheating. I mean...
Yeah. So now Karen's like on her feet and she's like, shut the fuck up. And she like bangs the table. So then Charisse bangs the table. Oh, no, Charisse bangs the table. Then Karen bangs the table. It's like a double banging, a bang, bang. And they're both on their feet. And Charisse is loose. She is now furious. We've never seen Charisse scream like this or get all out of sorts. And, you know, then of course we get the to be continued. But I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready to see where this goes.
So funny. Now they're just screaming and they don't even know why. Like, Karen is mad. You questioned her motherhood and then said something about her mom. It's like...
Yeah, just like...
on Married to Medicine, when anybody wants to fight, they just tell Heavenly, and you said your mama to me. How dare you?
Yes. Yes. It's just like the... I mean, it's just as classic as the, you know, you're being childish. The kids... Children are off limits. Don't even call me childish. You know what I went through to have my child. How dare you? Off limits.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of Potomac. We will be back every day, always.
Every day.
Go get your tickets because, you know, as we told you, there's new cities available. You'll find links for all of those tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com. The pre-sale code is Crappens2023. We will be doing a couple of Crappens on Demand videos this week for Southern Hospitality, and Salt Lake City. So join us, won't you? Love you guys.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.